Hey there, I'm Mark, and this is episode 2 of Made by History. We're happy to be recording again and bringing you some important perspective on the global coronavirus pandemic. To begin, I'll talk about my experience here in Montclair, New Jersey, just 12 miles from New York City. 38,000 people live in Montclair, and many of them work and travel to and from New York, which has become the epicenter of the virus in the United States. Montclair has had 228 confirmed cases of coronavirus and 24 deaths. As of this morning, April the 11th, New Jersey has reported 54,588 cases of coronavirus and 1,932 deaths. Because of social distancing and the worsening pandemic, Matt and I have decided to record separate clips and bring them to you here. Will, Remy, Hadar, Matt, Amelia, Chai, Kayla, Ashlyn, Aiden, Sam, and myself will all be presenting our experiences so far in this time of isolation and fear. Schools have been shut down for weeks, and our New Jersey governor has urged all citizens to stay indoors. Parks are closed, and only essential movement is permitted. An 8 o'clock curfew has been in place for quite some time, and the majority of people have been following the rules of social distancing and have adhered to health guidelines. This is a hard time, but struggle is something that humans have dealt with throughout history. We hope that you enjoy today's episode, and we hope to bring you more soon. Here's Will with his experiences during the coronavirus outbreak.
So where I live, my family was actually one of the first families to get coronavirus. I think there's a chance I was actually one of the first people at my school to get it, because before it got really bad in this area, I was sick and missed like a week of school and just assumed like it was a cold or something, because it wasn't bad at all, like when I got it. And I eventually went back to school later, but everything seemed fine until, 3 days after the quarantine started. My dad started to get symptoms that reminded him of when he had pneumonia, and he had pneumonia 2 years ago and it was really bad, but he got over it and he started to feel those symptoms again. And at the time, like, originally he was sure it was pneumonia again. Like, that's just what he assumed, thinking he was having it twice. So he did what he did before. He went up into the attic, sort of left him alone. He called his doctor. Doctor didn't really do anything for him, didn't really give him anything. And then it started to get really bad. And he goes to the city a lot, and that's probably how he got it. He works with a lot of businesses and all that. So then he starts realizing that he probably does have coronavirus. So he gets on the phone with the doctor. They tell him what he should do. And the first time he goes into the hospital, it's just a mess. Like, there's people everywhere. Like, the only thing they could do for you is put you on oxygen, which you did not want to do. They didn't have any medication they could give him or anything like that. It was super inefficient. They weren't cleaning everything. He tells the story of they gave him 2 masks by accident, and he touched them both. And then he told them they gave him an extra, and they took the extra one back and put it back in the used pile. And he had coronavirus, so there's then probably coronavirus on that mask they were going to give to someone else. So it's very, like, not proper or whatever, and probably contributing to the spread, if I had to guess, just the inefficiency of the hospitals and all that. And they told him that, this was on my birthday when this was happening, he told him that he should go on oxygen, and he resisted, like, really heavily. He was, like, looking back, he was definitely close to dying. But just because it was my birthday, he refused to stay in the hospital overnight on oxygen. So he ended up coming home. It was really touch and go. His blood oxygen levels at one point reached 88, which in a normal person, like normal teenager, should be high 90s, 99, 98. So it was really low. My mom was having to stay up with him at night, all of that. After, I think he said 17 days. After 17 days, he started to feel better. And what he came out realizing is that it's completely different than anything he's ever even heard about before. It's not like the flu at all. It's like pneumonia, but he compares the, like, personal feeling. With pneumonia, for him, he got worse, and then he got better, and then it was it. With corona, he got really, really bad, then he felt okay, and then he got really, really bad again before he felt okay. It was like a whole roller coaster, feeling good, feeling bad. And the symptoms were weird, too. Like, for the entire period that he had it, he had no sense of smell at all. Like, he couldn't smell anything. It would always get worse at night. And a bunch of other crazy stuff. But in the end, after 17 days, which is more than the 14-day period people had originally said, he started to get better. And I have three younger siblings. My mom lives in the house, too. And so that's six of us. And he got it really bad. We probably all got it with him. But for the most part, none of us really showed that many symptoms. We were all just a little bit tired. And we all thought it didn't like affect young people, so we were fine. But he actually told us that when he was at the hospital, every single person there was under the age of 60. And like news is coming out now that this virus is actually affecting young people, which is scary to think about, being a high schooler. Luckily, it's passed through my family, and we're all okay now, but, you know, in 5 minutes, that's my family story of coronavirus.
Hi, my name is Remy Rigby, and I currently live in Chicago, Illinois. I'm a sophomore, and I attend the Latin School of Chicago, which is a private school on the lakefront. I live with both of my parents and my dog, and I am an only child. For Corona in Illinois, it's definitely, well, in Chicago, it's definitely been kind of drastic, a shock to kind of everything, daily life here. My first experience with it was when school got canceled on, I want to say March 12th, 13th or something like that. It was kind of, I had a full day of school, I had lacrosse practice, I came home, did all my work, and then I went to bed that night, and I woke up the next morning at like 6:30 to my dad going, oh, like, no school, like, go back to bed. And I was like, huh, okay, like, whatever, they're probably just like cleaning the school or something. Little did I know that here we are on April 6th, that we will not be returning to school until further notice. It's been quite, I don't want to say hectic, but a little crazy. It's interesting to be in one place nonstop all the time and to kind of have, I guess, nothing to do, because it was my spring break for the past 2 weeks and my family and I had planned to go on a trip to the Caribbean, and obviously we had to cancel that. And literally the only thing we can do besides like walk the dog is watch TV. I mean, like, if we didn't have my dog, I'm not even sure what we'd be doing. It's also off of that, going outside, Lori Lightfoot shut down the entire lakefront, which I've never seen happen in my entire life, let alone my parents. It's absolutely insane because the lakefront is a huge part of the city. And to know that, like, that's closed and, like, you can't even be down there is kind of crazy. In addition to that, all the parks are closed. So they have all the huge don't enter signs, like, issued order by the government, all that type of stuff. I think one of the biggest things when thinking about Chicago is kind of Michigan Avenue. And I've grown up with Michigan Avenue, I've grown up shopping, I've grown up going to school on State Street. Like, it's just so strange and different to see that, like, staple of Chicago, like, not even exist. Like, there are no people, there are no cars, there are no shopping bags, there are no horns, there's no honking. Like, it's absolutely insane. It looks like a ghost town. It looks straight out of a movie. It looks fake. And it's just so weird to think about. Being in all of this, I think, allowed me to have a greater appreciation for the life that I live, and that there's so much opportunity that we have as not only like young people, but as like students, or as even people in our cities and our towns, that we take for granted. Like, all of the travel, my family and I travel a lot, and to me, like, that's a huge part of our life, and not being able to do that together is like crazy. Like, I've never even thought that this would happen. And even though, like, this has taken kind of a lot of out of people, I think it's to put in a lot, like I said, and it puts everything in perspective, and it allows you to kind of communicate with one another and kind of like come up with a plan of what we all can do as people in order to combat this pandemic as quickly as possible. You've probably all seen most of this, but I think it's very frustrating to know that people don't understand the severity of the situation and all of this going on, because clearly this is a problem. And if you don't know that, then I don't know what news you've been watching. But it's sad to know that people are coughing on other individuals, or kind of not using them, but like just stupid things like that, and not being cautious when you can be and when you should be, kind of would save so many more lives. And like, your small actions do really affect all these other people. Like, for example, like your grandparents or something like that. Like, it's your job to stay at home and protect them, because you go outside, you make contact with them. Like, only time will tell what can actually happen, and that could end really poorly. Lastly, I just want to highlight kind of how, even though in this pandemic, in this hard time for most people in the world, I think it also brings to light like a sense of community and family, and kind of being able to connect but not exactly face to face, like using Zoom. Like, even being on Zoom for what, 30, 45 minutes with your class, that makes a difference a day. Or my family and I had our huge like extended family Zoom the other day, and we all talked for like 2 hours and just laughed, which really lightened the situation, and everyone got to see each other. Even though it was on a computer screen, it still made a difference.
Hi, my name is Adar, and I'm from Israel. I'm 14 years old, and I'm going to talk about the quarantine and the coronavirus in Israel. In the most of the time, I'm with my family, and I barely go out. I go out like for our garden and just to breathe a fresh air. I spend my time in quarantine by drawing and painting and talking with my siblings and my parents. Sometimes I'm talking with my friends on Zoom. My teachers are giving many projects that we should do, and we have conversations in Zoom with the whole class. Here's some things I do while quarantine. I learn many languages, I draw a lot, and it's a good time to do some sports. It's a good time to do things you didn't have time for before. I think our country is dealing very well with the coronavirus. There are many sick people from the coronavirus, but our doctors are trying to do the best they can to make things better and for everyone to get back to normal. We can't go out, and if we go out far away, the cops will come and get us back to our houses. So everyone should stay in their houses. And all we can do is go out to our garden and do some sports activities. And it's a good time to listen to music or talk to friends or clean your room, help your parents. And that's it. I hope things will get better. And I hope for the whole world. Thank you for listening. I was Hadar from Israel. Bye.
Hi, it's Matt. I hope you're enjoying the show so far. We contacted people from all over the world, from the likes of Switzerland, Israel, and even other places in the U.S., like Chicago, to bring you this episode. So I hope you're still listening, and I hope you enjoyed it so far. I'm going to talk about my experiences. It's been pretty mellow. School has gotten a lot easier. My school, the classes aren't synchronous. They're more asynchronous, like on Google Classroom instead of videos. So I can pretty much wake up whenever I want. School never takes me more than 2 hours. I found a lot of time to work out, which I still did before quarantine, but just not as much. And now I can work out more, and I've been eating healthier. Not everything's been great. My grandma just had surgery, so that's a bit of a concern with the coronavirus, but she's doing okay and is in isolation. I have a lot of time to play video games, and FaceTiming my friends is essential because I feel without it I would be lost. Like, I really wish I could see my friends, talk to them, play games, like go out on a Friday night. But as long as we can like play video games and FaceTime, I'm sure I'll be fine. It's also really annoying because I, as you know, I live in New Jersey, and the weather is starting to get really nice here, and it sucks not being able to enjoy it. Like, since all the parks are closed, I can't like go to the park and play soccer. It's that part's tough. But like, I've been very comfortable. I'm chilling. Like, nothing too bad has happened yet. I have a lot of plans. I'm supposed to go to Peru this summer to do some hiking. Supposed to go down the shore, go to Rhode Island with my friends. I just hope people stay inside and take quarantine seriously so that I can do my stuff this summer. And I know it's like not a very worldview thing to say, but I want to do my things this summer. And just for the general health of the world, I hope people are staying inside and staying safe. Thank you. That's all for today.
Hi, my name is Amelia. I'm 15 years old, and I live in Frankfurt, Germany. So I do not know anyone personally who has the coronavirus. I know family, friends, and their relatives who have them, and friends of friends, but I don't know anyone personally who has it that I know of. And here in Germany, the technology isn't that great, so online school isn't really what we're doing. We don't have any online classes at all. We just have a program called EduNight, and we use that to get emails from the teachers, and then they just give us assignments to do from every subject, and we have 12 subjects at school, and that's been very stressful because we are usually used to not having to do it ourselves, and now we have to organize everything by ourselves. And yeah, but the good thing is that we have spring break at the moment, and they are deciding right now if we should have school or not after spring break, which isn't 2 weeks, it's over, which I think we will not have any school because right now at the moment it's getting better. We're kind of flattening the curve at the moment, but as soon as it gets better and everyone thinks it's getting better and yeah, they'll put us in school and we're 3,000 kids in one building, I think it's just going to make everything worse because as soon as one person has the coronavirus, we're all going to get it. And yeah, I think with my family being here the whole time and all the time, it's been kind of okay. It hasn't been very bad. I think I'm just getting a lack of privacy and my own time to myself. But I think as a person and mentally, I'm a lot more stable at the moment than I was during school because there's a lot less pressure on me and I can do things at my own speed and when I want to, and I can definitely sleep a lot more, which is very beneficial to my health at the moment. And yeah.
Hello, hello, I'm Chai, and I'm currently living in the UK. So it has been like a month since lockdown, since schools are shut. And our teachers just sent us like works and stuff through our app that our school use, and then Yeah, but honestly, I don't really want to do it since I'm also working, and this is like the time when I can catch up with my sleep and stuff. And then if you got like nothing to do, it's been like pretty rough because you can like think of negative stuff, but you'll be fine again in later on. Like, it's just crazy how your mood changes when you got nothing to do. So you need to like have something to do so that your mind is like your mind will not be spaced out. So and I'm working in a care home, which is really nice to help like old people because since we were in lockdown, so no relatives can visit them. So it really saddens me that they can get like confused, they can get high tempered and stuff, and you know, they got like dementia, they forget about stuff. So we're like there to care for them, and it's really nice to like talk to them and let them calm down. Because no one else can do that for them, so only us, because the relatives can't visit them. So yeah, it's been an interesting month since that coronavirus started in the UK. It's really sad that I can't like meet up with friends, catch up with things, and most of my friends are. I don't know what else now. Yeah.
Okay, so for me, quarantine has kind of been an interesting experience because my parents are divorced. I'm used to seeing both of them pretty frequently and my baby sisters and all of that. But I am quarantined at my mom's house, so I'm with my older sister and my mom, and that's it. And I haven't seen my dad really in like almost 3 weeks now, which is new. Never not seen him for that long. And like, it's fine for the most part. It's just odd. Because, like, somebody that's so regular in your life, you just all of a sudden just don't see. And, like, I really miss my baby sisters because they're so cute and small. And they don't understand this at all. Like, one of them is 4 and the other is 3. But the 3-year-old is like, she doesn't really grasp this at all. The 4-year-old is really, really smart. So she like understands a little bit more. But like, we went to go drop stuff off at my dad's house the other day. Obviously, social distancing or whatever. So we didn't get out of the car and say hi or anything. But they were on a walk and we saw them as we were driving up to the house. And the 4-year-old, Athena, said to my sister, my older sister, Ariana, that she had a flower that she wanted to give her. And so we had Athena put the flower on the ground and Ariana get out of the car so she could get the flower, whatever. And then as soon as Ariana got out of the car and Callista, the 3-year-old, saw her, she just bursted out in tears and was reaching towards her. And it was so sad because like, she doesn't understand this at all. She just thinks we're just like leaving her. And like, when my sister went to college, she already thought that about her. So I felt so badly that, and like, that they're so young and they just think that they don't go to daycare anymore. So they just think, like, I don't even know what they think. They probably just think that, like, everybody's just kind of gone. It's just them and my dad. And this has made it kind of interesting for me and my mom and my sister. Like, I kind of spend a lot of time in my room because I do homework And then I get bored and then I take a nap and I listen to music and it ends up being like hours of just me napping because like what else is there to do? But like my sister and I feel like we're probably getting along a little bit better, but like also she's annoying me a lot. But like I'm annoying her too. It's not like it's fine, but it's just weird. Especially since, you know, she's supposed to be at college right now and she's not. And, like, spent a lot of time doing online school, but, like, it's just made me so, like, lazy. Because, like, I do work in my room, which I probably shouldn't. I should probably do it separate, like, in a different room or whatever. But I don't want to do work. I just, it's so weird. To do work online only, you don't get to see anybody. Kind of takes whatever fun it is in school, just like seeing people, that takes it away. And yeah, it just is a little more boring and I procrastinate a lot. Yeah, and I'm not, as far as like progression of the virus, I'm more worried about, like, how it's going to be next year, because from what I understand, it's similar to the flu in that there are multiple strands, and, like, every year it mutates, and, or not, like, not necessarily every year, but it just mutates over time or whatever, and this is just the most deadly mutation of it. So my concern is if we don't even have a cure now for something that's so deadly and is so contagious, how is it going to be in like the coming months and years, like when it's further in like mutations, and could it be potentially more dangerous? Like that's more what I'm concerned about, because like this is so new, this is nothing I've like this has ever happened, and nobody really knows how to comprehend it, because like it doesn't feel like anything is happening, because I'm not that like nobody that I know of has corona. So it just feels like everything is just made up right now. Like everything feels fake. Like time doesn't really feel real. I don't feel like passing by. And like because of that, my sleep schedule is messed up. And like everybody is up at 2 a.m. and then wakes up at like 1 p.m. the next day. Because like the concept for time is just so different, because we don't have schedules that school gave us. It's very odd. Yeah, I don't really know what to say, so, yeah.
Okay, I'm outside, so it might be a little loud, so I don't know if you'll be able to hear me. Okay. So far, corona for me, it's kind of been, like, confusing, I guess. It's not really understandable as a concept for anybody until you really experience it. Like, of course so many people have gotten this virus, but you don't really understand what's happening until you or someone you love has it. And quarantine is also kind of like a concept that so few people like have really thought about. And, like, let alone gone through. So it's kind of crazy because, like, it's something that you hear about in movies or, like, on the news that's, like, happened in other countries, but you never really think it's gonna happen to you. Like, you don't wake up and you're like, okay, this is actually happening. Like we're in quarantine. We're not allowed to go outside. Like, it's just such a foreign concept to people. And then this is actually happening. And that's kind of like another thing, like with this virus, like you never really think that this virus is going to hit you. And so many people go on with their lives thinking like, wow, this is happening to so many people around me. How do I react to like, to what's going on around me? Nobody thinks this virus is going to happen to me. Like this virus will hit me and I'll have to react in the right way because I have this virus. And it's kind of scary to think about that way. Something as I realized about, like, ever since this virus started happening was, like, the entire dynamic has changed with everything we do, like, daily, just normal daily things, like going to the supermarket or going on walks, stuff like that. Like, I go on bike rides with my siblings every morning and just, like, to get fresh air, because really you're not allowed out unless it's, like, a necessity or for exercise. So when we're out on our bike rides, so many people avoid us by, like, crossing the street, or they like, cover their mouths, or they have, like, masks on, and they, like, turn away from us because, like, you know, you never know, like, who has that, the virus. And they kind of, like, cover their mouths like we're some, like, foreign creature that's, like, out to get them, I guess. And, like, of course they have every reason to act that way. But it's not normal. Like, this isn't normal. And I feel like people are kind of forgetting that. Like, this is not normal. And my dad brought something up a few days ago. And he said, what if 2 months ago you were watching a clip of today's world? Like, would you even be able to explain? Like, would you be able to begin to explain anything going on in that clip? Like, you see people at the supermarkets and they're wearing masks and they're, like, not touching people. There's, like people are keeping 6 feet distance from everyone and, like, wincing when anyone coughs, or people are getting arrested for coughing on food accidentally, charged for terrorism. And, like, how do you begin to explain something like that? Like, how would you be able to make sense of some clip of today, like, 2 months ago? 2 months, like, that's a crazy short amount of time that all this happened. Like, everyone's lives are, like, flipped upside down. I've spent a lot of time with my family, too. Like, we created, like a bond that wasn't really possible in the past because we never, like, were together because we were at school or my parents were at work. And my siblings and I, we've hung out so much. Like, we have, like, sleepovers because we really have nothing better to do. Like, I'm actually, I was so grateful that I have them, because if I didn't have them, if I was an only child during this, that would be so difficult. And just living in the house I do, like, not living in an apartment, that I feel like that would be incredibly difficult in some time like this. Like, living in an apartment and having to be in this small, confined space. Like, I'm glad that I have a backyard that I can play in. I'm glad I have siblings that I can play with. And with my parents, like, we talk more than we have in a really long time. We bought chickens because we were bored. I mean, we used to have chickens, but it wasn't like they all died. So we got more, and it's actually kind of fun. And I still see my friends sometimes. I mean, we keep a 6 foot distance between each other, maybe even more actually, because we want, like, zero chance of getting the virus. And, like, I assume that sitting that far away, we won't get the virus, and, like, it'll be fine. And people pass by us on the street and they're like congratulate us for social distancing because no one wants us to get the virus. And I'm kind of scared about getting the virus too, as is everyone, because I have a grandma that lives in town and she's at a high risk of getting it, and a high risk of, like, it being, like, having a lot of damage on her. Another thing that I was going to talk about was the racism that Corona has brought up. Like, now no one can really say that racism isn't a thing anymore, because this kind of proves that. And there's, like, daily racism, obviously, but this just, like, it's so clear. I've heard stories of people saying that, like, that people have commented on them being Asian and them saying, stay away from me, I don't want your Chinese virus, or something like that. Even our own president called it the Chinese virus. And when he was confronted about it, he made up excuses for his own racism that he said in a speech, and he was like, oh, no, but it wasn't. It's just because it started in China. Like, obviously, that's not why he said it. And he can make up excuses for being racist, but, yeah. Like, it could have happened in the United States. It didn't, but it could have just as well happened in the United States. And it's not because we're Asian that makes it our fault. It just happened. Okay, it's been more than 5 minutes, so thanks for listening. Hope you're safe. Bye.
Well, hello. This is Aiden Dowell. I go to Montclair High School, and this quarantine is making me lose my grip on reality. Ooh. But in all seriousness, I am not better than I was before. So, anyways, let's talk about quarantine. I do it, you do it, we all do it, and that is a fact. You know, in my family, my dad is retired, my mom is a work-from-home writer, so not much has really changed in our dynamic. You know, everyone was home all day, except for me, and now everyone is home all day, including me. So, not that significant of a difference as opposed to, say, a traditional family, you know, where people are leaving the house to go work. But on my mother's work, you know, she does travel writing. She writes for travel outlets. And clearly, there's no work there right now because no one wants to read about, I don't know, the top 50 tips for traveling to Laos if, you know, literally no one is coming to or from Laos in the foreseeable future. So there is this strange symbioticism that isn't necessarily new but is different between my mother and people who work in travel and, you know, travel outlets, because the outlets are looking to the writers to pitch, you know, different things. And the writers, media consultants, whatever, are looking to the outlets to, you know, provide them with work if they are giving them these alternative story ideas and alternative paths. So one of the things my mom's been able to do is pitch alternative grocery shopping, which obviously is very relevant right now. And, you know, you have services not necessarily as well known as, like, Fresh Direct, but, you know, they're delivering groceries to your house. And part of having to write about that is having to have that firsthand experience with each of these companies. So we're actually, again, in a very unique situation, I feel, because, you know, a few times we've had a variety of services being able to drop off different kinds of goods, different kinds of groceries at our house, which, you know, has been really nice. But on a different note, in terms of quality of life, this might be a little insensitive, I kind of love the quarantine. You know, it gives me so much time to do things I normally don't get to do. Because, you know, normally there are only so many hours in a day. I spend 6 going to school, at least 3 sleeping, and pretty much the rest of them eating. So, you know, having all this free time is really allowing me to pursue other things, which I love. In terms of online school, again, I think this might be a hot topic, but I kind of love online school. It gives me the freedom to do things when I want to do them. It's super convenient, for me at least. And, you know, it kind of gives structure to my day-to-day in the quarantine. You know, I wake up, I do my routine, whatever I need to do, then I do the same classes in the same order with different work every day. You know, it's never the same, but it's also gives some semblance of, like, normalcy to this whole thing, you know? And on that, I think what's super unique about this crisis in particular is that you look back in history, you know, whatever you want to look at, whatever pandemic, epidemic, and the foremost difference between those and COVID-19 is the internet. You know, we have capabilities of communication and media and projection and, you know, distance learning, for example, and all these capabilities we've never had before. We are kind of at, like, a precipice in human history of, like, this is the most connected we've ever been. And it's kind of what makes this situation in particular so strange to navigate, because there's really never been anything like this. There have been other diseases, other outbreaks, other pandemics, but we've never had the struggles that we have today that are alleviated by and actually come with having this connectivity that we've never had before. You know, this is something I could go on talking about nothing for all day. So there is a point where I have to cut myself off. And I think that's about now. So thank you for having me, Mark.
Hello, my name is Sam. I live in Montclair, New Jersey. And I think for me that the biggest part of this quarantine experience was really when my brother, younger brother's school called and informed my family that he'd been exposed through someone in the school and that we should get him tested as soon as possible because he might be carrying COVID-19. So my family, we got him tested and we waited, I think it was 6 days, for his test to come back. And by the time it'd come back, we'd pretty much concluded that he had it. He'd gotten sick, he had all the symptoms, but he passed it in about 3 days, and he felt much better by the time his test came back and confirmed that, yes, he had been positive. And then in the wake of that, I think my mom actually had it next, and she got tested as well. And she passed it relatively quickly, and she knew that she'd had it and had gotten made her recovery by the time her test came back. And then sometime before her test came back, but after she had recovered, I got sick. And for some reason, I'm not sure why, I think it really hit me the hardest. I had really terrible headache and chest pain and difficulty breathing. I hit a 104-degree fever at a point, and I really didn't leave my bed for about 2 days because of that fever, and it was really kind of scary. It really brought into stark focus how fast-acting and dangerous the COVID-19 virus could be. But eventually I passed it as well and made a full recovery. And I feel like that really brought into focus how fortunate I was, because as I came back from it and it got worse in the area, I heard so many stories from my parents and from friends I knew about people who they know who were dying, or relatives of people they know who had gotten severely ill or died from the coronavirus. And I thought, wow, that's... it's crazy and terrifying that so many of these people are dying, and I got it, I got sick, and I'm all right. I think that really, though, the scariest part of this whole experience has probably just been not knowing when it's going to end. You know, it's really hard to motivate and keep oneself optimistic when you don't know how long you have to. I think that's what's really terrifying, is we don't know exactly how bad it's going to be everywhere and how long it's going to last. But I feel like some all right things have also come out of this. I've definitely gained a new appreciation for my family and my friends, being separated from them. You know, you miss everything a lot more when you can't have it. And I really have been very lucky to have really enjoyed myself at home for these past couple few weeks with my family, my pets as well. I've got two cats and a dog, and they've been wonderful company. But I really feel for people who aren't as fortunate, I guess, and who are having a lot harder of a go of it. But I think through this whole thing, we just have to remain optimistic and strong and unified. You know, this one of the biggest threats I think this poses to us as people is that it's how it isolates us and keeps us separate. So I feel like it's really important to remain that, to retain that sense of connection and interconnection, and stay in contact with people who we can't now physically be with or see regularly, who we used to be able to see constantly. And I feel like it should definitely give us a new appreciation for how lucky we are to all be so constantly interconnected with each other through technology, and how I hope that when we go back to, whenever this ends and we go back to being able to see each other, how we'll appreciate those interactions a lot more.
Hi, it's Mark again, and I want to talk about my day-to-day life during quarantine and some of my thoughts on recent events. Life has changed, I'm sure you've noticed. Online school, a messed up sleep schedule, general stress, and isolation has been weird, and a general feeling of stress seems to blanket every day. Not to be a downer, but it's true. I've been FaceTiming my friends frequently and trying to stay positive, but sometimes it's difficult. There's been a general trend of people suggesting that during this quarantine, people need to improve themselves or be better at something than before. Life is hard right now, and I think it's great if self-improvement helps people cope. But it's okay to feel tired, unmotivated, and sad sometimes. I don't know how many times I've reminisced on memories from a month ago and felt as though it were a lifetime away. Playing video games, watching movies, and talking to people helps, and I hope all of you feel comfortable in whatever way you spend your time. The world we live in after this virus will be a different one, but I'm confident that it'll be okay. Stay safe, stay inside, and stay connected. I hope all of you are well, and stay tuned for our next episode of Made by History.
Hi everyone, this is Matt, and if you stuck through the whole episode, thank you. Every view means, like, it means a lot to us, and it means a lot that, like, we're getting our voice out there and your voice out there about what's happening. And I feel like we should all remember that, like, it's important, even if your experiences are, like, mundane, to record them. Like, remember, like, you're living through history. Like, this is a big deal, and you should, you don't have to feel proud, but, like, just know that this is a momentous occasion in human history. And, like, this will be in history textbooks. And I'm glad we got to hear from different perspectives, of everyone of different genders, races, economic standpoints, sexualities, like, just every like, all types of walks of life from different countries as well. And I think this podcast episode was great. It gave a look into different people's lives and how it is or isn't affecting them. And we just like to both urge everyone to stay safe, stay at home. Like, if you don't see your friends, like, if you want to be able to see them, like, later on, now is not the time to. You stay inside, and things will get better if everyone stays inside and stays healthy. Also, if someone sent this to you or you're listening to it and you enjoyed it, send it to someone else. Get these people's voices out there. It would mean a lot to us. Thanks, and see you next episode. Bye.